A terrible clap from me. I reckon that's four shitty claps in a row from me at the moment. I'm Ash Frith. I'm here in quite an echoey room, not in the pod booth, but not in a creaky old car either, which doesn't creak anymore, so leave it alone. I am, though, in an echoey room. At the other end of the line, on an old tin can stretched with a piece of string between them, is my good buddy Buddy. It's Justin Panels. Yeah, I can hear you, Justin Panels. How are you?
The first time I saw Andy Dufresne, you never would have known he was a man of substances. I haven't done him for a while. What's that? I don't know what he says. That film's shit.
I've only watched it once.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's loved, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to say IMDb was first sort of like a thing.
Yeah.
I went on there and I went to my then partner, oh, we should watch the, click on the top 10 rated movies of all time. Can you, I think I could probably still remember them.
Oh, lovely.
I think one might have been Godfather. I think one and two is Godfather part one and two back then.
Wow, okay.
And then I think it was a Shawshank Redemption. Then it was Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. And
is
then,
that true?
No. And then it was...
it could be. No, I don't know who's voting.
Yeah, children that like getting wanked off in cinemas. Is that what happened? I don't know, even know what happened.
Oh, why? Is there a thing?
Oh, yeah, Pee Wee Herman's a sex nonce. Yes.
No.
This happened in the 80s. He got rumbled at the time, mate. You'd never tell by looking at him as the old epitaph. I don't know. Shawshank was in the top five.
Did you call him a sex nonce, by the way?
I just make words up, mate. I'm a creative poet.
I like sex nonce. I think that's good.
Sex nonce. He's a sex nonce. He will pull some children and jizzle on their bonds. Sex nonce.
Oh, dear.
But he... I feel like I'm going regressing back to the halcyon days of 2006 when pedo jokes were all the rage. I don't like paedophiles. I'm not a fan.
This is only because you've written a really good pedo joke recently, so...
Trying to catch that lightning in a bottle twice. You can't, can you?
No, it's very, very difficult.
Anyway, so I saw The Shawshank. It might have been 3 or 4 or 5 or 2. I can't remember. And I said, oh, fuck that, then we're not doing that. Because I watched it when it came out. And then I watched it in about 2002. And I was like, this is like a really shit film. And it's the cheapest, I've probably said this on here before, my biggest issue with it is it's an adaptation of a book.
Oh yeah, it's a Stephen King book.
Yeah. So what's the easiest way to adapt a book? You sort of like get the actors to pretend to play pretend all the interesting scenes. And then you just get Morgan Freeman to read the book in between. That's what it is. It's Morgan Freeman. It's Jack and Nori with like sketches. It's just
fills in the scene.
It's the famous for Morgan Freeman's narration. That's how we got the Penguin gig. Well, Pixar came to me and said, "Yeah, did a good old job there. You see, voicing the book of the Shawshank. Would you like to come and talk about the penguins?" That's how we got the job.
So is he narrating over the top of the film all the time?
That's not the first time I saw Andy Dufresne. Yeah, I've read the book. Bit. That's got to be in the book.
No. I'm just saying, I'm not doubting that.
Yeah, no, they're just saying it like, oh.
But why? During the film, does he go, and Andy Dufresne?
Yeah, he's got the book. He sits there, licks his thumb, turns the page, and then it zooms in, and there's like a drawing of Andy Dufresne getting bummed in the shower, and then it sort of like becomes real.
That's it. I have no memory of that
at all. It's a bit like The Princess Bride. You know the start of that?
No, I'm not seeing that.
I'm going to do it again. You've not seen The Princess Bride?
No, I've not seen that.
Well, there is one famous quote in that film that I say in my head when I talk to you 15 times every conversation.
That is one big fucking man.
Yeah, no, it's not actually. That's funny. It's not about Andre the Giant. Ashtray the Giant, I'm going to call you from now on. It is. That word doesn't mean what you think it means.
Well, what do they say?
He says something, and he goes, "That word doesn't mean what you think it means."
What word is it?
What? No, you just, you get quite a lot of words wrong.
I do not.
You do, like onion. Well, you make words up, like sex.
I still accidentally say onion quite a lot. I said it yesterday.
But you used to say it deliberately, or you didn't know it was wrong.
I didn't. No, it was just, I just said it without contemplating it.
No, like, I mean, previously in the past.
I knew it didn't have a G in it.
Like, was that live on the pod? Was that real time when I pulled you up?
Yeah,
on
I
that?
Said onion, and you went, what? But yeah. There was another one where you were wrong, but I can't remember what that is. So what's the point?
What's the point in that?
Yeah, I have to think about saying onion. Like, yeah. I still, at this stage, have to say it's
there's
onion.
There's certain words in the English language that everyone gets wrong, isn't there?
Yeah, like, well, I like Chim- the fact that...
Skellington is one.
Oh, my God.
Chimley. Yeah, I know a lot of people say chimley it, with an L.
My granddad used to say digical.
Yeah, digital. I think you said that. And
I think that might be a Suffolky thing. I think that actually might
be... I thought chimley was East Anglian thing. Like Manx say ickle.
Because what is it? Computer, you would say.
Computer, yeah. Hey, you had a go in a computer, hey? How you had a go in a computer, hey, Ash?
Yeah.
Well, bless me, that's a tremendous thing and bloody whatnot and that.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you... like, are the bastion of good language.
Yes, that's very, that's one succinct way of putting it.
However, if you were to resort to speaking your native dialect, it would be absolute fucking bollocks. You have battled to hide your accent. It's still there, isn't it?
But yeah.
You have battled.
I remember once my mum and dad...
Because this is what I was talking about last week. I can't remember if it was on the Patreon.
Yeah, it was on one of them, wasn't it?
The language, like you can talk. You talk like you're on a building site, but you're also very eloquent. And you've got rid of your dirty Norfolk accent. You don't say computer.
Don't say
you
computer,
don't say
or
my
rough.
Lovely.
I don't say rough and rud and brum.
But it is strange that you can adapt to be like proper. Like you will just use some slang effortlessly. But like you've never mingled with people. This is the thing that really got me. You've never spent time with people. So that's what makes it really strange that you can adapt your language. I never really got to say that, I don't think, before. Like I find it really weird that you...
I was experimented on, Ash.
You were experimented on?
I was created in a laboratory.
Yeah, it is a bit like that.
Yeah. I'm a shapeshifter.
You are a shapeshifter.
Linguistic shapeshifter.
You know what? I was thinking, because now our tickets, are they for sale, the ones in Cambridge on the 25th of August?
Yeah.
Are they actually up? So they're up for sale now. Our posters are live. They've gone live. And I thought to myself, like I put our posters up on Facebook together. I said, me and Panks doing the show 25th of August. And I thought to myself, this is me and Panks doing this. I wonder whether other people are going to watch this and go, oh, are those two friends?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Well, I try and keep it a secret. I'm in the closet.
Yeah, I know you do. But, like, you move in circles where I think you've got a lot of respect. I do think, like, people would go, I'll speak to Panks about that. People, like, that the listener might not expect.
Mm.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, Panks. Because you've got, you tell me everything, I think. So you will go, Ash, have you heard blah, blah, blah? I go, bloody hell, have you heard that? And you'll go, oh, so-and-so told me. And I think to myself, how the fuck is Panks speaking to so-and-so?
They speak to me, mate. When you're the top G. When you're the top G, people speak to you. You don't speak to them.
But this is what I'm saying. So people might not understand that you have got the ear of a vast array of people. You are spread across the comedy world.
Like?
Top to bottom.
Butter.
Like butter?
I'm spread across the platform like butter.
But then they see little Ashy Firth doing a show with you. I wonder if they're going, but Panks is part of the Illuminati.
Yeah. No, I am in the cabal of cunts.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that because I only know that from my perspective. Is that not how everyone is? You have your pockets, don't you? Your different factions and you're king of all.
No. Oh, right. Like, I think there would be things that I would... This is the thing. This is how I look at it. Like, I think I would bring something up to you, like a thing that I've learned or heard. And you'd go, yeah, like, I know, yeah, I heard that a week ago. And yeah. I'd go, how the fuck haven't you told me that then? But to you, it's just like you've probably been talking about it with your little group, like your committee.
No, but you just think everyone knows stuff. This is the thing I've had in my life, so many instances where people went, how the fuck do you know that? I remember once I nearly punched someone over it. I was at college. And this bloke was going, oh, this is like a... I referenced it the other day, actually. It goes, oh, this is like that play, isn't it? Oh, what's that play, you know, with All in Hell by Jean-Paul Sartre? And I went, No Exit. And the room was like needle scratch. It was at a party when I was about 19. And everyone went, how the fuck do you know that? And I went,
yeah.
I went, how did you know it? You knew it but couldn't remember it. Why are we different? It's not like if I said, what's my PIN number? And you said, I would legitimately...
Like, 3457 for you, I imagine.
I'd say this about my PIN number. I had to get a bank. I was such a fucking, almost said a derogatory slang for traveller then. I was such a derogatory slang for traveller growing up that when I got my grant, I walked down to the grant office and thought they should give me money. And I went, where's my like 1800 quid for the year? And they went, we haven't got it here. It goes into your bank. I went, what? And they go, what's your bank? I said, I haven't got a bank account. And I didn't have a bank account. I was like 18. I went,
wow.
I haven't got a bank account. And they went, well, you have to go and open one. So I went and opened one.
Isn't it weird that they'd agreed to give you a grant with no bank details?
Well, they didn't agree to it. I went when everyone got one. It was completely, they didn't means test. There was like rich, oh, yes, I tell you, we had vagabonds. Vagabonds rubbing shoulders with descendants of royalty, all entitled to the same. So I went, I ain't got a bank account. And they said, well, you need one. So I went and got a bank account, and I got my grant later than everyone else because it took time to do. And I got sent the card and the PIN number in 1994, and I've never changed it.
No.
All my cards, I changed to the same number because I just think I'll just definitely remember that.
My original PIN was 0898. Like, you know, like...
Double one! Yeah. What was that?
That was the number. That was the phone number for phone sex line.
Oh, I don't know. What was it? Well, I don't remember. 7724, wasn't it? What was it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, no, 0898 double one was not a sex chat.
It was 0898, then any number, and it would be sex chat.
I remember a jingle that used to come on the radio or something.
Because then it changed to 0831 50 50 50.
No, I'm thinking of something like that Safe Style Windows bloke.
Oh, do you remember First Class Windows? Do you remember them?
I remember Everest with a feather. They were the first one, weren't they?
Because there was First Class Windows. Don't deliberate. Called.
That might be regional.
It was Chelmsford. I'm just thinking. Chelmsford, yeah. 22 66 88. First class are the best. Call them up and you will see when you pay for your front, you get your back done free. You don't. They charge you a fortune.
What about if you've got one window at the front and eight at the back? That's what I would do if I built a house. If I was building a house in the Chelmsford area, I'm guessing in the 90s.
Yeah.
The architects go, this is a bit of an odd design. I said, yeah, I just want a very small window at the front.
Yeah.
And I'd like my front and back door on the back and all the windows and a big trifold opening door out onto a veranda. And they'll go, absolutely. And then you go, yeah. But imagine if they said, no, technically this is the front, and then you've got to sting yourself, wouldn't you? You'd only get the little one for free. Oh, this is the gamble that we must take as men.
You've got to get them around when you're building the house.
Yeah, man. So is this the front? And have like Wile E. Coyote loads of empty window holes painted on the front and then just pressure wash them off in the night before they come.
It's a great idea.
Isn't this a great idea?
I think this is faultless.
Everything I say might be.
Well, you pay for your front, you get your back done free. How much is that? Well, that's 30 quid.
I remember. You right, buy one, you get one free. I said, you buy one, you get one free.
Yeah, that guy's weird, isn't he?
Yeah, he was like dressed up like a medieval torture man or something.
Tell me about anyone with a bald head and long hair.
Crazy Frog. I think that it's a dying look.
I hope so.
I think it will come back. As the tash and mullet and those sort of like, they're not aviators, they're sort of like wire-framed big, I'm going to say nerd glasses from the 80s. The ones that sort of like Jeffrey Dahmer wore. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't know now what you mean, but I know what you meant before that.
The ones that sort of like someone on Wall Street in the '80s would wear, and they were
When I first saw them as a part of the comeback, I kind of thought, "Oh, that's awful! Like that's not going to catch."
No, you got
now
some.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Now you got some, ain't you?
No, I don't wear glasses.
No, that's, yeah, okay, but you can get them with a very, very light tint. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, I think
I've told you this before. I've got this real thing about glasses. Like I'm very new to sunglasses. I reckon I've only had a pair of sunglasses for a year. And every time I put them on, I feel incredibly conscious that I'm wearing sunglasses. Mm. I went to the pub. So it must be mid-lockdown, you know, like mid-COVID when you could just go out.
Yeah.
And we went down to a local pub outdoors and I put sunglasses on. Two of my mates were there. They had sunglasses on. But as I put sunglasses on, I really thought to myself, they're going to be looking at me.
Yeah, but on your big gigantic face... Did I say gigantic?
Gigantic face,
On your big gigantic face, they would look like those little sunbed ones that just... like tiny little ones that you just like...
They do.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
But I think I put them on, like I've got a cap. I've got a Vans cap that I like a lot, this Vans cap. But if ever I wear it, I think everyone's looking at me like, what the fuck's that guy wearing a cap? I never look at anyone wearing a cap and think, cap!
Yeah, but that's never you happened. Thinking it. That's you thinking it. Oh, I thought of something the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, you know lumberjacks?
Yeah.
When they cut a tree down, they shout timber.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, not a joke, but it sort of is a bit of a joke, isn't it?
Well, this is now timber.
Yeah, it's like
cutting it.
It's like, it's a tree. It's still a tree.
Tree.
And I was thinking, imagine if every profession, like when they create something, just like a chef just shouted out, omelette! Every time they tip an omelette out of a pan.
Into a pan.
Because it's just eggs until you make it into an omelette. That's what shouting timber's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just thought that. I mean, what you said.
What else is there? Like, what would a porn star say as he ejaculated?
You're welcome, white worms! White worms, daddy need to make a number three! You can have that. That's what I say.
What other things are there where you...
We could A potter could just go in a weird and go, pot!
Yeah, because it's clay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's clay until it's turned. It's like just only lumberjacks are the ones that...
Here's the thing. This might be nothing. But with that in mind, at what point does it become a pot?
When you...
So I've got a lump of clay, right?
Yep.
What is that there? That's clay. A lump of clay.
You've got your shirt off. Wheel. I'm up behind you like that scene from Ghost. Reaching round you.
Pop your top off. Your top off.
Both got our tops off.
Have I got my top off?
I want you to have your top off.
Does Demi Moore have a top off?
No, we're not talking about Demi Moore anymore, Ash. You're in too deep now, bruv. This is you and me. I'm behind
you.
Right,
one question I've got. Are you going to be able to get your legs wide enough to get up behind me?
No, that's the thing. I want to hang on the back of you like a little koala that's like mislatched koala. And I just want to hang on the... You know like them monkeys walk around with their babies on them?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to fit.
I'll just hang on. I'll just grab on like your back fat.
Okay, yeah, we could do that.
Well, you get up behind me if you want. But I will reverse up.
He'll back in.
I will pull my bumper up to you. That is where me and Grace Jones differ. I'm proactive with this.
What did Grace Jones say?
Pull up to my bumper, baby. But I will...
Oh, was that about... That's not about cars.
What?
That's actually a euphemism, is it?
What do you fucking think? Now, think about it. Right, just think about it. What we just said.
Grind up to my bumper, baby.
Put up to my bumper, baby.
What does she want to happen?
She's in a dance. She's in a dance club, isn't she? Having it large. On the dance floor, right? She's dancing. She's a geese she likes. She's a nice geese. She's a good-looking geese, to be fair. She's very symmetrical. Good jeans, you know what I mean? She's like, bent over a little bit. She's inviting him on to it. Dry humping, mate. Call it dry humping, yeah? She's like, put up to my...
Why does she want that, though?
This is how she talks. Have you ever heard her voice? That was a good impression. So I've turned around to the geezer, and I've said, put up to my bumper, baby. And he's come up, he's all like that, like that. Fucking handsome.
Oh.
That's what pulling up to my bumper, baby, means.
Because otherwise, unless she just wants tight parking.
Yeah, maybe she is of Nigerian descent. Maybe she was a parking attendant at one time. I don't know. I don't know that she's from Nigeria. I don't know about Grace Jones, except she's very good at standing on one leg, like a flamingo.
Is she?
Well, her album cover was her. She was on like one leg and her head was nearly on the floor. She was like half a swastika. She had like her leg bent and then one up behind her. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
Imagine the South and East prongs.
Is she an actor, a singer, a model?
Everything, mate. She was in Conan. I don't know if she was in The Destroyer.
I was a bit scared of her. Is she scary?
That's racism.
No, I think she was scary. Was she in Bond?
Yeah, she was in The View to a Kill, I think.
Was she a good guy or a bad guy in Bond?
I can't believe she was a good guy because she was quite striking. And she, women with short hair are very rarely the heroines, right? That's a little thing I've noticed, Hollywood, you need to correct.
Yeah, they won't allow that.
No. Like British people are always the super arch scheming baddie. Oh my God. So talking of films as we sort of started before I shat the bed multiple times. On Wednesday I see my children and we watch films.
Yeah, that's
nice. They like films with a twist. They like films with a
Oh, you're going to show them Sixth Sense. I never guessed that.
Yeah, I know. I said, I don't think they have seen that. And I said, have you seen Sixth Sense? And they went,
imagine if they haven't heard the reference.
Well, they haven't. So I said to them, I said, have you seen Sixth Sense? And they said, I don't know. I don't know if I might have done. I don't think so. I said, you'd remember if you had. I mean, you can only watch it once when the sort of like reveal is revealed. You sort of like, it's like a joke.
Ruined, yeah.
And they went, I don't know, maybe I've seen it. I said, do you have it? Is that the one where he's dead in the end? He's dead the whole time. That one. And they went, and I thought, oh, fuck, there's no point watching that now. And then, right. So they really like The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, never seen it.
That might have been their favourite one that era.
So that I don't know what the twist is of that film. Can I just say that? It's probably 30 years old, that film. I don't know what the twist is.
Probably is nearly that old. You don't know what the twist is?
No, I've always just avoided the twist. I know something about someone called Kaiser Sose.
Yeah, that's
it. I know
it.
No one knows who that is.
Yeah, but that's who it is. When you find out who it is the twist.
All right, yeah.
That's it. They watched Fight Club, turned it off. That was shit.
Yeah, see, I loved Fight Club when I first saw it. I don't think I can watch it now.
That is trash. Yeah. Then we watched, what other ones did they really like? I'm going to give you a reference for ones they liked. Silence of the Lambs, loved.
I've seen it.
Hannibal, utter shit, the sequel. Utter ridiculous shit. First one, Hannibal Lecter's in this prison. He's this clever bloke. He's a dangerous man. It's this politician's daughter gets kidnapped by a serial killer. They go to him for help. And they start...
Does he give help?
To a point. I don't want to spoil it. In case you do watch it, it's worth watching.
I'm not going to watch it.
Anyway, the sequel, he's more like Batman. There's one where he escapes in the first one and he fucks off to...
Does
like,
he?
Yeah,
I
he fucks off
that.
To Rome or something. And in the sequel, he's like in Rome and henchmen are trying to kill him and he's like running. This old bloke. Like this old bloke was like a tubby little old Welsh bloke. He's like running and jumping and like... It's just stupid.
Well, how does he escape if he's that much of a criminal? How does he manage to escape?
Yeah, it's the thing. He doesn't even disguise his appearance much. He puts a hat on. And then
So how does he escape? I actually want to know.
What, in the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best bit of the film. You sure you want to know?
Yeah.
So this bloke comes in. These two cops come in. And he gets something. He's so dangerous. Right, whenever they take him out anywhere. This is boring to everyone else who's watched
it. Don't take him out anywhere.
Yeah, well, they take him out on like a pallet truck. Or what do you call it? Yeah,
I've seen that.
With a muzzle
like
on.
A sack barrel.
Yeah, sack barrel, that's the word I was looking for. Sack barrel with a muzzle on. Anyway, he's in his cage in the middle of a room. It's so weird. You know, like a big cartoon cage that like Donkey Kong's in. And, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a cage like that. It's like a dead rectangular cage with bars in it. In the middle of like a museum, it almost is like this big... I don't know where it is actually. So it's in this big building. So he's in there because he's helping the... I suppose it might be like the White House is in somewhere like Washington, D.C. maybe, because he's helping the politicians. So he's in there, and then he gets a I can't think of my words today. You've given me that compliment about my vocabulary, and you've shit it.
Paperclip.
Paperclip, the word I've been looking for. And he's got it behind his back, and this bloke comes in, and he somehow takes his hand... He's better put his hands behind his back, so they handcuff him to the bars when they take his grub in. They handcuff his hands to the bars behind his back. Anyway, so he somehow gets the handcuffs off, and he handcuffs one of the coppers to the bar. And anyway, all this big bloodbath ensues. So,
oh my God. Well, doesn't the copper call for help?
Well, there's two. Yes, anyway, right. So they do. The alarm goes off. They come in. I've got to try and get this right. One of them's just dead.
He kills someone.
And the other one's laying there with his face bitten off.
Oh my God.
How did he do it? Yeah. So they go, this copper's still alive. And so they put him in a fucking gurney, trolley, whatever, take him out. I can't remember what he does. So anyway, they're in the ambulance and they're sort of like, all of a sudden his hand comes up. Hannibal Lecter bit one of the policemen's faces off, put it over his face, put the uniform on, and it weren't the copper, it was him. With the copper's face over his face, like a mask.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that was the best bit.
So
probably.
Was the copper short and tubby in Welsh?
Yeah. So anyway, that's how he escaped. But in the second one. And in the second one, there's just this massive plot hole that they just... All of a sudden, he's walking around. And then he just walks into a hospital. It's not explained. And he walks... He's like walking about. And he just sort of like... It's just like a video game. And then he's sort of like... You know when you're watching like someone play Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
And there's just like a bloke walking down the street holding a gun and no one's like batting an eyelid.
Is he covered in blood?
No, not in the second one. No, sorry, this is sec- so this in the first one is, the second one is in this hospital and he gets a white coat and then he goes in the sort of like morgue and he just picks up like this electric saw, right? Like a bone saw, like a Dremel mini, but it's like for cutting through bones, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the scene at the end, then he's just died, isn't he, Ray Liotta?
Yes, he has.
So Ray Liotta's sitting at the table. Here's his FBI agent, but he's not a good guy. He's a sexual predator. Because at this point, Jodie Foster... Is this making any sense to you?
Yeah, I'm
all right. Jodie Foster is Julianne Moore in the second one. It's the same character, but just a different actress.
Oh, right.
So Jodie Foster must have got that phone call and read the script and gone, no. And fair play to her. Best decision she ever made.
That's a bold move, though.
I don't know if that is what happened, but watching how shit the film was. And so anyway, she goes to this house and that Hannibal Lecter's cooking. Like, he's right, fucking, just reminds me of Yanis. He's got like classical music on. Do you know what I mean? He's like drinking like some wine and he's all like listening to opera and he's making this sort of like, he's slicing up all these herbs. And that Ray Liotta's sitting there and he's all, because he's always like drugging people. That's his thing. In the second one, he goes to this, would you like a popper? And he gives this bloke poppers, but it's not poppers. This gay bloke, he's took back to bang him. And then he goes, this bloke's dancing around and he drops a mirror. And Hannibal Lecter picks up this shard of mirror and goes, why don't you try slicing off your own face? And this bloke does it.
Good, yes.
Christ. Yeah. Anyway, so at the end of this one, Ray Liotta's sitting there with a baseball cap on and he's all like, oh, hi, Agent Starlin. When she walks in, you're like, what's happening here? And just there's like a little trickle of blood comes down from underneath his baseball cap. So then Hannibal Lecter's going, why don't you join us, Clarice? And she sits down and he's like cooking with this little, like a little, you know, like a flambé set next to the table, I think, as I remember it. Takes off Ray Liotta's hat. He's cut the top of his head off and you just see his whole brain.
Oh my Christ alive.
Yeah, you can see he's sitting there, right? So that's how they've gone, oh, how would he have done that? And they've just put that scene where he goes to the hospital afterwards. It's such a shit film. They must have showed it to like...
He's eating Ray Liotta.
No,
his own
no,
brain.
No, no. And then, so he's got all this garlic and like a little bit of fennel in the pan. He leans over and he grabs a scalpel and he's going, the front cortex, there's no nerve endings. He's explaining how he don't feel it. He slices off the little bit of that Ray Liotta's brain. Puts it in the pan.
Where's Jodie Foster popping round Lecter's house?
It's Julianne. Shit. She knows that he left a clue that he was there and she'd come there to get him, but, you know, something.
Is she a police person?
Yeah, FBI. So anyway,
on her own. She's come to get him on her own.
It's shit. It doesn't make no sense. So he gets a bit of Riotta's little bit of his brain. Just like a little bit. And he's like, sears it both sides and feeds it to Ray Liotta. He's feeding him his own brain. He's like, oh, that's delicious.
Is Ray Liotta okay in the end?
I don't think so. He's eating his own brain. But it was just... anyway, the point I'm making is we watched this film Gone Girl. Two things to talk about in Gone Girl. Have you seen it?
I just want to point out she didn't do the film because she was displeased with the script.
There you go. Well, there you go. Nailed that. Had to be. It's not... Honestly, I'm no Sherlock Holmes. It is so bad. I'm surprised. The other ones just took the money. And it's like... especially Anthony Hopkins. And I think they made more. I just thought... The boys were like, there's another one. It's called like Red Dragon Rising or something. I said, fuck that. But anyway, so we watched this Gone Girl. Have you seen that?
No.
If you said that Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal, imagine they were two halves of a film and the second half was far-fetched and shit, then Gone Girl is that. The beginning's not too bad. Then it does a plot twist. And I was going, we'll like sit, I'll pause it and we'll go, what do you think's going on here? Like, that's why we like ones with plot twists. I'm like, oh, do you think he said that because that? And I'm sort of trying to get him to be...
You're a fucking nightmare, you lot. Yeah,
analytical about it. They haven't watched, they don't watch Marvel films, so far I'm doing a good job.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, and I go, I went down a red herring. I was like, oh, the iron was on, so I reckon he's killed her, blah, blah. So anyway, it turns out she ain't dead. She's stitched him up to make it look like he's killed her and she's run off.
Mm.
And I go, hang on a minute. I pause it, because it's like not a whodunit, but did he do it, I guess. It's halfway through. You know, it's like an hour and 20 minutes left. Hang on, he ends up halfway through the fucking film. Then it just goes fucking ridiculous. Like, she comes back, she kills... And, like, there's all these plot holes in it. So it's absolutely... Half of it was all right, not good. I'd say the first third was good, actually. Then I'd say if the first third was good, like, imagine Cordial. Then if you imagine the first half is the first bit, then plus the watered down. The first half was okay, including that good first third. And you take the whole film as a whole, including the last half, utter shit. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to mention is a scene where she comes back. Right, so she kills this bloke and she's having sex with him and she's on the bottom. And she gets a standing knife and she goes, slits his throat, fountain of blood all over her. She pretends he's raped her and kidnapped her rather than, you know, she actually ran off. She fitted this guy up for kidnapping her.
Fitted him right up.
Fitted him up like a fucking carpet, right? So she's all covered in blood. She goes back. She's in the press conference. She's still got the blood all over her. She's in the hospital. She's talking to the police.
They've done the press conference on the same day.
Not a press conference. They're sort of, sorry, like a sort of like, they'll meet, like all the police have stood around debrief in the hospital. They send her home, all the media outside. She's got hospital scrubs on. She's still got all the blood on her. And I'm going to my boys, she's been back like a day. And then she goes, I know you fucking stitched me up. And she knew he knew. And she's like, you got to go along with it. It's so stupid. She's been around the country killing people, right? And this other couple robbed her anew. It's just stupid. And then she goes, oh, you got to get in the shower. So they can't hear us. She gets in the shower, blood all over. She starts washing her hair, which ain't got no blood in it. That's the first thing she does.
I think you'd wash your hair, to be fair. If you're covered in human blood.
I think you'd get that off first, wouldn't you? And the thing is, she nicked this bloke's car and drove like across the country with his blood all over her. Anyway, so Ben Affleck's in it. I think that's his name. The big one out of Good Will Hunting with the dark hair. Yeah. He gets in the shower, and I don't know this. I'd like you to look this up. I think he had a prosthetic dong. Because you got
Ben Affleck's dong?
I don't think that it's... Well, fair play to him if he hasn't. You get like a brief side glance of it. The male equivalent of a side boob. It's a dong, mate. I'm going to use the word dong. And I think you know what that...
He's got the worst tattoos of all time, hasn't he?
I don't know. No, I know someone's got worse. I know someone's got worse, mate.
He split up with someone famous and then had like a phoenix tattooed on his back.
Yeah, I know someone's got worse. We both know someone's got worse.
Do we?
Yeah. Think about conversations we've had recently.
No. I don't know what you mean. All right, let's have a look. Shower scene, Gone Girl... 1 year.
Got to be. I think he's got to be. You got to be accused of a fake dong.
The actor's decision to show very brief nudity near the end of the film during a tense shower scene. Ben confirmed early rumours of his being in the buff during the... The penis is in there. It looks better in 3D.
Maybe that is his penis then. I don't know. Well, he's got a big dick.
This is a bit weird.
What?
His wife of the time said, "Oh, what do I have to say? You're welcome. I just tried to consider myself a charitable person and I wanted to give back. You give me so much. I wanted to give something back to all of you."
Wow. So he's got an impressive piece if she's like a gift to society.
She's basically saying she is saying you're welcome for it being in the film.
To everyone who saw it. Which implies it's impressive.
I mean, I'm looking at grainy footage of it now. It's very difficult to make out, isn't it?
I could make out of him with that penis. Do you see what I did there? Make out is what Americans call copping off.
See,
hey, anyway, maybe it weren't that big. Maybe I've revealed a lot about myself in that little...
I'm finding it... I'm going to keep looking into his penis, see what happens.
Down the D-hole. Hey, the other day it was so hot. No, this is disgusting. Forget that.
No, go on. Tell it about someone else.
Well, I've heard about this bloke once that it was apparently really hot, and he went to urine, and to our American
steam came out.
No, to our American listeners, over in the UK, our baby bird still has beak. You know what I'm saying?
Christ almighty, I've got a shot of Ben Affleck's penis.
Do you think that's got... Is that in the dong category if I overplayed
that
it?
That can't be.
Yeah, that's where I was. We're a couple of short dick little men on the same page.
Yeah, that's not normal.
No, I don't think that's normal, is it?
This is the problem. It gives an unfair representation of what a penis is.
Do you think that's real? I don't think it's real.
I think that looks like his hand from the other side swinging in front of him.
It looks like an elephant's giving him a shoulder ride, doesn't it? That's too big.
I reckon I might. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've not got a proper penis.
That's what I just said. I just said that exact thing.
That could be what it is.
Yeah, I know.
If that's what they're meant to look like, I should have gone to the doctors.
It's all external and everything.
He's got an external penis.
I've got an innie.
My penis is like an iceberg.
What, less?
Only, yeah.
It's all green.
Green and crusty. Crunchy. Covered in little insects.
And I stick it in hamburgers.
Yeah, that does make me feel sad, really. Because just because he's Ben Affleck, why should he have a massive dick?
Have you ever seen this famous old clip of him arguing with Sam Harris? That's racist! No. Have you seen that?
What are they arguing about?
I think they're arguing about Islamophobia. It's on that Bill Maher... what was that called? What's that Bill Maher show called?
Don't know.
Oh, fuck. What's it called? Hard Points Talk... I can't remember what it's called.
Hard Points. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be the end of Ben Affleck's Hard Points.
Yeah, well, anyway, I saw that and I was like, I think he's got a Dirk Diggler situation going on there.
But the problem with it is, as well, I've just looked at... I've stopped looking now.
Are you sure? You did go quiet for a bit there.
Because they don't have the end, do they? A lot of Americans.
What's that noise?
They always look weird. Like an old leathery end. Like, it's like a dust jacket. I think that my end has kept...
Yeah, if you think about it...
Nice and preserved.
You think of it, when you slice the end of a cucumber and put it in the fridge, and then when you go and get it, what does the end look like? You've got to cut it off.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got an exposed cucumber, haven't they?
They have. I've kept the dust jacket on, and it's meant the cover hasn't faded in colour.
Well, anyway, this person was so hot. It was so hot. When they went to slide the dust jacket, it was so hot.
His penis.
When this person we were talking about went to urinate, and they went to slide the dust jacket back a bit so they could see the book. It didn't slide, and it just pulled the mouth open like a hungry carp.
Oh, my Christ.
And it went, actually gaped. I just heard about it. It actually gaped. It was like a little shop of horrors.
What, like it sealed it off?
I think it was so hot, it somehow tack welded the dust jacket to the book.
Tack welded is good.
It's tack welded the dust jacket.
You don't get a sweaty bellend, do you?
No, I don't know what had happened to this person.
I want some proof.
I reckon that they probably spat on their thumb. I don't know this.
And then run it under the ridge.
Run it all round.
To loosen it off.
Yeah, like you're sort of like, I don't know.
Their cock had dried out and sealed.
I think this person might have been hungover and hadn't drunk any water that day.
Was it mummified?
I don't know. I didn't ask him that. But apparently the urine came out like marmalade without the bits.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm. Anyway, what? Don't watch Hannibal or Gone Girl. If you watch Gone Girl, watch it. But just watch it with... I think I might do some watch-alongs. Oh, this is it. Hey, listener, Discord people. I've just invented a new podcast. You've got a movie podcast called I'd Watch That. Mine's called Let's Hate Watch This. And this is my one.
Okay, sorry, I thought it was something we were doing. Okay.
Well, yeah, you've got yours, I've got mine, and we've got this.
No, yeah, I don't want to tread on your toes.
You've got wings, and I've got the Plastic Ono Band, yeah? So what I'm going to do is watch a film with... How would I do it? And with listeners and just slag it off.
Have to count down. You have to... Everyone have it queued up, and then you start your call, and then you go in 3, 2, 1, play.
I think I might watch Star Wars. Stuff like that.
But then this is what we said before. Like, Star Wars is the biggest film of all time, or one of them.
I think Titanic or Avatar is, actually.
Avatar is back in, I think.
Isn't there a second one? There's a new one coming out.
Yeah, that's coming out. The sequel no one ever asked for.
That's every sequel.
But Star Wars is what it is. Like, I think Star Wars is probably was on the very, very, very cusp of being a B-movie.
Yeah, it was.
Like, cost a lot of money, but, like, Darth Vader is just on the correct side of movie villain and not... Like, because if you think about Dark Helmet in Spaceballs...
Mm.
Darth Vader isn't that much different to Dark Helmet, really.
Do you think, like, he's a rip-off of Frankenstein from Death Race 2000?
Did that come first? I thought Death Race 2000 was in the 80s.
Yeah, of course it was, you're right. Probably, yeah. The other way round. Mr. Frankenstein, some people say with your mechanical hand, it's possible you can change gear in 2/100ths of a second.
Oh my God, I remember that.
No comment. And then at the end, can we just do the end of the worst thing ever?
It's Death Race 2000 where the guy's drilling in the road and the car goes between his legs and cuts him in half.
Yeah, the bull. That's the bull. That's Sylvester Stallone's the bull car. It's got horns on the front.
Sylvester Stallone cut a man in half.
The best one is all the nurses from the hospital wheel all the old people out in the road so they can get killed. Do you remember?
No.
And then they will go and hide behind a bush in a lay-by. And Frankenstein comes down and he swerves, and instead of running over the old people, he goes behind the bush and kills all the nurses. And you sort of hear like, and all their sort of blood-stained uniforms fly up over the bush.
I was allowed to watch that film when I was 4 years old.
That's the first film I ever watched on video. My dad went down and hired that and Time Bandits, and he put that on first. It was like 11 o'clock Saturday morning.
Time Bandits is fucking dark as well, isn't it?
I just thought that was a load of old shit, mate. That's like, I don't think it is Monty Python, but it's in that universe, isn't it?
I was definitely scared of it. Like, that bit at the end where everyone's dead and there's just a lump of coal on the floor and they say to the kid, don't touch it, it's pure evil. And he just touches it.
Why did you do that for?
That's the end of the film.
Is that meant to be a metaphor for the Garden of Eden and the apple?
Don't know.
Yeah, sounds like it. I didn't watch it. I remember it's got dwarves in it.
I remember just being constantly scared. And then Sean Connery's in it, isn't he? He plays like a Greek god.
This is the movie episode, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd watch that again, Time Bandits. I've not seen that.
So the end of Death Race 2000 is the worst pun ever. He takes off his glove to reveal his mechanical hand. And it's a metal prosthetic hand. And welded into the palm of his hand is like a frag grenade. And the girl goes, what's that? And he goes... A hand grenade. Remember that?
No.
It's his hand is a grenade.
Yeah.
And then he goes up to shake the evil president that makes him do the death race and blows him up. Or he doesn't. He tries to. That's the point. Frankenstein's actually a goodie that doesn't agree with the race.
I think I'll watch that film again as well.
I bought it on DVD.
How can we have a watch along? Where do you find these films?
I can download anything illegally off that club I'm in.
Well, okay. Can I be part of your club and watch this film?
Yeah. All right. We did direct, did not direct as commentary, but we're not the director, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a good comedy TV show years
ago. Yeah, there was, weren't there?
Yeah. Called Director's Commentary.
Yeah.
It was like one of those late night Channel 4 things.
I think they watched actual films and made up the commentary, didn't they?
Yeah, it was TV and film, and they would just talk as if they had
directed. Weren't he called like Dickie something or other?
Oh, maybe.
That rings a bell, doesn't it?
And there was one where it was this sitcom, and it was like set in a hospital. And it was like one of those 70s sitcoms. He goes, funny thing about this is actually set in a police station. But all of these beds, it's very difficult to explain why there was all these beds in a police station. But obviously it was really in a hospital.
So what came first, that or Dark Place? Because that was, they made the sitcom and then did the commentary like over it, of interviews.
I don't think they made the sitcom. Oh yeah, Dark Place they did, yeah.
Yeah, they made the sitcom and then they did the director's commentary. But the director's commentary, I think he was commentating on actual stuff, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, like old found footage type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark Place was quite good, wasn't it?
Definitely director's commentary come first.
Dark Place was quite good. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. I like that.
Yeah. So that's quite nerdy for me to admit, but I like that.
No, that was a very good show.
Skipper the Eye Child.
Yeah, see, that it did fit in with your aesthetics, didn't it?
Might, maybe. That word doesn't mean what you think it means.
Director's commentary, comedy show.
It's Googling. I don't use Googling. We use DuckDuckGo.
What's DuckDuckGo?
I don't. That's the sort of thing a knob would say.
Director's Commentary is a comedy television series created and written by Paul Dudderidge and produced by Miles Ross. Oh. The person who did the commentary was Rob Brydon.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say Steve Coogan. I knew it was like someone like that. I was going to say, well, Steve Coogan. I'd have been wrong.
Blow me tight.
But I knew it was a household name sort of thing.
Broadcast in 2004. His name was Peter Delane.
That place was before. No, I bet it weren't. I'm just old.
Peter Delane.
That was it. Not Dickie.
It was good. I think it was good.
Don't watch Gone Girl. No, watch Gone Girl and tell me what you think, guys. Do you like horror?
Do you think? No, I don't. I don't.
Well, you're scared of a kid touching a bit of coal. Don't ever bloody go up north, I tell thee, don't go up bloody north.
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
2000 and...
Wow!
It's earlier.
2004, the same year.
Well, fuck me. You and he were buddies, weren't you?
I like the bit in that where... Matt Berry's character is trying to have sex with a patient. He's a doctor, Dr. Sanchez. And then she says, I can't have sex with you. I don't even know your name. And he goes, I'm Dr. Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then she lets him have sex.
It's so funny when he goes, I had to deliver that you and he were buddies. That's so funny. He's talking about it like he's fucking, you know, Shakespeare's, like the fucking...
If you listen to this and you're not seeing Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, watch it. I think it's actually funny.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. That was the first time old Richard AI became a thing. Yeah,
I went to see it live at the Soho Theatre.
See, now you've like, now you're out. Now I'm out. I did that with League of Gentlemen. It scarred me for life.
Garth, it was really good live. I think he won an Edinburgh Award. No, it was before the TV show.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry. Rewind, take it back. My bad.
Yep. So I think it was an Edinburgh show.
Yeah, it was. Fleabag was.
And then they...
Did you like that?
Fleabag was an Edinburgh show.
Yeah, she won it, yeah.
I don't know what Fleabag is, really.
Yeah, good. Shit. Don't worry about it.
Don't know what anything is anymore. Don't know what anything is anymore.
It's one of them ones where they turn to the camera, like Miranda.
Would we do that in our sitcom?
Yeah, I'd mug it off. Mug it off? You know what I mean. Mug. Yeah, I mean. You know what I mean.
You're mugging it off, mate. I know what you mean.
It's so postmodern, isn't it? Like acknowledging the audience at home.
But would you say that by looking? Would you look at the camera and say that? Would you?
I
be
think
post,
you should
post-modern?
Look at the camera, and I should have a tantrum. Okay, if he's going to start looking at the camera, I'm fucking not doing this. I don't care how much money I leave on the table. And then someone from behind the camera has to come out, and I go, "Don't start showing the crew. This is like you don't want to do that behind the scenes thing to be what like existential." Then it just keeps going on and on and on like that.
But does it ever happen again?
The whole show is that. Just zooming out.
In the next episode, is it ever referenced?
No, all six episodes in the series are just that. Like every time anything happens, we just zoom out another layer. I have a tantrum about it. Then another layer zooms out to show, and then it just keeps going.
How many crews are there?
And then at the end, it goes back to the beginning. And it starts again. And they could just show it at, like, I reckon, 8:30, Saturday night, BBC One, every half hour, forever. Just the six episodes that loops. Somehow, the thing that happens at the end of the six starts the first one again, like a TikTok video. And the whole thing is just this. What are you doing? Writing this down? I can hear sketches.
Yeah, I've just jotted this down. Good idea. I'm going to send it off to my producer.
Yeah, I bet you fucking will, mate. Don't worry about little old Jussie P. I'll just keep chucking out the gold.
I've come up with an idea.
Yeah, of course you. I know what you. I know what you're after. And then it just goes round and round and round forever.
I'm up for it. I'm in.
Ad nauseum, but yeah, that's that. That's that.
What does that mean? Ad nauseum.
Until
I know what
repeat,
it means. What
repeat.
Does it mean?
Repeat until you're sick of it.
Does nauseum mean sick of it?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like nausea.
That is the Latin. Yeah, that is what that is. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. 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 I mean, why would you think I didn't know? You've done that thing, haven't you? Why do you think I couldn't know that?
No, I haven't done that. I never think that of you.
Well, nausea is not an English word, is it? If you know what I mean. You can tell it's Latin, if you know what I mean.
I'm just trying to get the etymology of it.
Mm. What are you doing? You got your felt tips out.
I'm not doing anything, Gavin.
I can hear you. Oh, what have I been
is
up
it
to?
You?
I did a gig last night.
Oh, well, I thought it might have been you.
What?
Guys, I'm not doing anything, so I'm wondering whether the sound was your end. No, oh, could it be? Maybe it's my
microphone. Yeah, it's that. That sounds like someone writing. No. You writing.
Stop doing that.
I did a gig last night. I did something I don't think I've ever... I got actually stroppy with someone, but it's quite funny. But,
oh, yes, please.
No, it wasn't stroppy. I was completely in control, but I was just so in control. I was talking to someone. There's these. So get this. There's these three women in the front row, faces like fucking thunder, right? And I said, how do you lot know each other? They go, we're sisters. I said, just you three? They go, no. We've got six brothers and another three sisters. No. There was 11 of them. Six. We've got six brothers and another two sisters. And I was like, bollocks. So anyway,
that's a lot of people.
That's too many people.
Yeah.
So cool, fuck me. I wouldn't want to have a look at your old lady's fucking minge. Jesus. Did not say that. But the one on the right was sitting there. She was the moodiest one. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she went, well, she was, I was on the stage. The speaker was on the stage. She was like a foot in front of the speaker. She goes, well, it's really loud. I went, yeah, well, you're sitting in front of the speaker. And she went, I went, see this? I tapped the mic. I went, this goes down that wire, into that, pointed at the sound bloke. I said, over there. And then it comes out of there. So they were sat in the front row, only three people in the front row, had 10 seats in it. They're sat up the one end, and she's in front of the speaker. And I went, move. She went, what? I said, move, sit there. She goes, no, it won't make a difference. I said, of course it'll make a difference. I said, I ain't counting until you move. I said, I can't have you sitting there looking at me like that all night. And neither can you. I said, move, like that. And she did. I just didn't back down. I don't know. What's happened to me? What's got into me?
Well, no, you were right there. That's mad that she'd go, this is a bit noisy.
And didn't move. And then after, in the interval, there was only two sisters. She'd gone.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, do you know what I said?
So where's your fucking sister gone?
No, I said, it must be nice. We look so miserable. All of you are miserable. Again, no, we're fine. I said, you look miserable. I said, it must be nice for you three to come out here and meet... you know, at a comedy night instead of around your cauldron.
Lovely.
Macbeth. I thought, yeah, there'll be five people in here to get that, but that five will go, oh, he's... And then I'll say something else, and only another five people will get that. But then there's 10 people in the audience going, oh, he's not as thick as he looks, is he? So anyway, they go, she's
did
gone.
That, did five people laugh at that?
I didn't say it for a laugh. I was showing off. So,
yeah, but did five people acknowledge
that was... Maybe more than that, actually, because it was quite a posh place. I didn't think it would be posh. It's a place called Hawley, near Gatwick.
Yeah, I'll click there, I think.
It's quite posh. So I go, the one that I made move had left. And I go, where's she gone? They went, oh, she's having heart trouble. She's got something wrong with her heart. She's gone home. I went, oh, for fuck's sake. And I just moved on.
Did people laugh at that?
Yeah. No, I went, oh, no, I actually feel bad. And I sort of made the face that I don't care. And this bloke sat right behind and pissed himself for the only bloke in the room. I went, this is Steve. I'd been talking to him. I said, what's funny about that, Steve? He went, no. I said, what's funny about this woman having a heart condition, Steve? No, I was laughing at you because you said you care, but you don't. I said, yes, I do, Steve. I do care. It's just you that don't care. And everyone in this room thinks you're a cunt. Didn't say that either. But I felt very... I did two 15-minute sections. I didn't do any material whatsoever. And afterwards, nice. This bloke come up to me. He went, we'll be fair, mate. You're quite funny. And I went... Yeah, that's. I put it on the poster, mate. Quite funny. No, you know what I mean. You are funny. I didn't want to say nothing because, you know, I didn't want you to go after me. I was like, go after you, like, now. And then he goes, because, Robert White was meant to be closing, but he's ill. He goes, when... This is after the gig. He goes, when's the bloke from Britain's Got Talent going to be on? I went, He's very... When you MC, sometimes they think it's your show, don't they?
Yeah, they think you run it.
Yeah, he was all twitchy. He kept shaking my hand, and he was an old guy, but I think he was... geared up. He goes, what time's the bloke from... I said, oh, I don't think he's on. He goes, what do you mean, don't think he's on? I said, oh, no, he's not well. They've had to replace him. Well, you ought to know. I said, this ain't... I said, no. I said, I didn't even know he was meant to be on. I said, I got here 10 minutes before the show, mate. I'm now going back to Norwich. Like, he's trying to have a go at me about it.
You ought to know.
Yeah, you all know. Like, is this bullshit? Is this bullshit? And then the bloke who did close went, I'll do the act. I'll do the impression. You tell me if you can see it was. He went, no, he can't come, mate. He's actually got COVID. No, that was terrible. That was not good.
Can you do it again, please?
Well, it's a funny thing. He's got COVID. You wouldn't want to meet with that, would you, mate? He's got COVID.
I'm right on the verge.
Oh, you're up a wanker. You're edging. Beard.
Do it again. Do a bit of a routine of his.
Well, oh, I can't think of it. I was out in the other room. It was Kevin McCarthy, basically.
Basic. I love that you said basically at the end. It's Kevin McCarthy, basically.
So he said to this bloke...
Oh, I'd never have guessed him, by the way.
He's got COVID. And he looked at me and he went, is that bullshit? This bloke went... And I went, I don't know. He went, you don't know? I said, it's not my fucking... God, just I'm the MC, mate. And then one of the sisters comes out and she went, you know what? You should have been doing an act.
Oh, my God.
Because you were actually funny. And I think that... the way I see it, but I might be wrong. There, she was with her hand. She was going, those acts are up here and you're down there. She's doing that. He goes, but you should have been up here. I said, that's not how it works. Why don't you like do an actual comedy set? Or she didn't say set. But she, why don't you do a comedy turn or something? I went, I do, but tonight I was hosting. She goes, I don't know nothing about comedy, but you should have been up there with them instead of down there. I said, I'm not down there. I said, some people phone you up and say, do you want to do this date, your MC or your closing or your opening? She went, oh, right, now you've explained it, it makes sense. And just walked off.
Oh, it's so weird that people think that the MC is like a... Do you think that's a problem? That people sometimes don't think that that's a real legitimate part of the
I
show.
Actually think it works in your favour. And they're like, this bloke's not even part of the show and he's actually funny. Like, and I think it's like a bonus.
Yeah, this guy isn't a comedian. Yeah. Yeah.
I said, she goes, what, do you all do each other's jobs then? Like, as if we all travel around in a van together. Do you know what I mean? I said, I said, most people you see MC do sets, but I said, not everyone can MC, I guess, is like, that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I said, because as you could tell, I said, I didn't do any jokes. She went, oh no, did you not hear the room? People were laughing. I said, yeah, yeah. Honestly, mate.
Well, that might, you know what? That's quite subtle. That's quite a subtle definition. I don't know that people wouldn't know that.
No, okay, but I said, no, I said, but I didn't like, you know,
routine,
say, yeah. Oh, have you ever noticed in the post office? I said, I was just talking to people and saying funny stuff about what they said. Well, I don't think you should say you're not doing jokes, though. I said,
do you think...
And I thought, hang on, Ash, I thought to myself, I thought, well, this is funny, because 30 seconds ago you said you don't know nothing about comedy. Now you're lecturing me about it. That's a fucking weird situation, isn't it?
Do you prep a room for you being a host? Like, I always say, I'm the host, I'm going to talk to you, talk back to me.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I didn't like, need to last night. If they look a bit sticky, I will say that. I don't have any sort of like... That's what I was saying. I didn't even do any of my opening icebreakers. I just went up there and went, you lot look fucking posh. I think that's the first thing I said.
I like that.
And they just sort of laughed.
Last time I was in Brighton, that's how I started. And that I love it when, as you walk on, the opening thing you're going to talk about happens. Do you know what I mean? Where you could just literally, as you walk on, point at the person that's done the thing and go... Oh, this like
the
is where
I
we
think
start.
The best thing for me, because I would say if I had to describe my emceeing style in one word, it would be acerbic. It's a bit roasty, but I get away with it because I think people know. So for me, the ideal situation for that would be I'm walking on and everyone sat down except like a couple of people that are now making their way to the front row. Do you know what I mean? So I can just walk out there and just look at them. And look around with that sort of look on your face and look at them. And then I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck have you been? Do you know what I mean? That's how I would start.
My ideal, I think, is someone is over celebrating the start of the gig.
Yeah. Sycophantic applause. American level like applause. Is that what you mean?
Or whooping. Whooping. Or whooping. Or a few times I've had it recently where someone's done a strange hand action.
Yeah, or like everyone else stops clapping and you go, hello, and someone goes, woo, just as you're about to.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Perfect. You can just immediately. Because this is the thing, even walking from the side of the stage to the mic, the show started, it's already started.
Yeah.
It has. So if you can, even if you go, well, before I've said this myself, you go, before I could even get started, I had to come out and talk to someone. But yeah, it has already started. So the sooner you can do that as an MC and go, oh, no, no, no. I'm in this room with you. I'm one of you. I'm just up here. I'm going to reference things what go on and notice things what go on. And I think the sooner you do that, the quicker you're sort of like in your, I'm going to say something wanky. I think you're in your flow state quicker as an MC. It's just like you're already thinking rather than...
There is no pressure. I feel no pressure as an MC, where I know some people...
I don't anymore. I know
you're the same. But I feel much more pressure as a stand-up than I do as a host, because as hosting a show, I can literally go, well, this is free time. I can spend 2 minutes not doing anything.
Telling someone to move.
Get that opportunity.
You can't do that in the middle of a set, can you? You couldn't in the middle of a set tell someone to move from in front of a speaker.
No, it'd be
exactly.
weird.
But
yeah.
You could actually just revel in it and go, yeah, I'm just going to do that. But I remember my first time I emceed, and I can remember the first person I spoke to, and I can remember the exact thing they said and what they looked like and everything. How weird's that?
Really?
And I can remember I had fuck all. Girl, woman. Sorry. I said, what's your name? She went, I can't remember her name. I just picked that up. And she went... I said, what do you do? She goes, I work for Eastern Electricity. And I said, oh, what do you do? She goes, oh, I work in the sort of like maintenance side. So if a power line's down, I send engineers out. And I remember thinking, oh, God, I've done all the bit I sort of anticipated. Now I don't know, now I don't know what to do.
Because unless you're in the flow state.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a flow state then.
But that's really, really difficult to come back to. If you're thinking about it logically, if you're thinking, oh, Jesus, what am I going to say about a woman who arranges engineers to go? Like, there isn't anything for that. But you have to have this little weird free flow thing in your brain.
Yeah.
You're just like, you've got the next question, the next question, the next question.
But you do think that you've got, you know, you sort of, I think I said to someone, because I won a competition, just a little one. And it was like, the prize was you get to go back.
Competition. What?
I won an open mic night, and the prize was
Wow.
You get to go back the following month and MC it for like 25 quid.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, that was the second time I ever got paid.
So should we be saying award-winning podcast?
Yeah. So anyway, I went...
I've won two.
You're the Southend Big Cheese Man of the Year.
I was Southend Comedian of the Year.
Yeah, I haven't won that.
And I was the Laughing Pod New Act of the Year.
That's like fucking hell, mate. That was like you played for City and United then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really is. They hated each other.
Yeah, they hated
but
each other.
I got paid. I got paid work off of.
Yeah, and that was the ruin of you. You know, they say the worst thing can happen is when someone goes into bookies, they win their first bet, and then they're hopeless gamblers.
The yeah, I was like five.
Get
gigs
paid
in,
too early. You're a prima
in.
Donna, mate.
Won the Laughing Pod New Act of the Year. Got three paid gigs off the back of it.
Was Laughing Pod a pun on anything? I never did work that one out.
No, I think it was in a pod. Like the place where the gig was in a pod.
Oh, okay.
It was called The Pod in Southend. It was like a big studio.
Oh, that makes
theater.
More sense. Right.
And then went in the new Southend Best Comedian of the Year championships. That was hosted by Russell Kane.
See what I mean? You had too much too soon. It's done you in.
Where I met Russell Kane, and then he got me to do some tour support for him. I did the Reading Hexagon in front of 1,600 people. That paid loads of money.
All right, mate.
But then, you know, it all stopped, and now I've done nothing.
Yeah, because you're like, if I'm not doing that, I won't do it. Yeah. Hello, Ash, got a gig for you. Is there going to be 1,600 people in? No, fuck that. That's what's happened.
It is a bit like that.
That's why people have to pretend that more people are going to be there than there are for you, Ash.
Yeah, they do a bit. I think I might. That might have summed me up.
Yeah. Many a true word spoken in jest.
Well, I'm going to take this on board for the rest of the week. Thank you, Justin. I'm going to think on.
Think on it.
Thank you, listener. Thanks for being there. If you want to listen to another podcast this week, why don't you become a patron? Just like, Justin, can I just say, become a patron just like...
Jesse James.
Just like Michael Long did this week. Michael Long is a new patron. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy your extra podcast every single week.
You've better than this one. It's better than this old shit. You'll see, the Thursdays is where the good shit happens.
Everyone
says it.
£1 a month. Go and do it, for God's sake. Be lovely. Thank you very much for being there. Cheers, Justin. Goodbye.
Oh, the penguins. See you later, get up.